to Philippians chapter 4. And you can kind of camp in that area, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, as we sort of learn. Yes, Carrie Lynn. Children's Church, yes. Sorry, thank you. Lord, we pray for the Children's Church, for Carrie as she goes, and for the young people that are there. Amen. Thank you. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. To know who you are. And this just begins with, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Thank you, Lord God, for your word, for its truth, for its power. I personally believe that man is a tripart being. That is, every man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. The body allows us to interact with the physical world. The soul allows us to respond to the intellectual and emotional world. And the spirit allows us to relate to the spiritual world. The spirit, each part of this system is extremely important. Without the body, we wouldn't have any contact with the world. We wouldn't be able to interact, do the things we do, right? Without the soul, we would have no ability to think or feel. Without the spirit, we would not have the ability to commune with God and respond to him. Of course, when we eventually, as we all will, leave this world, the body ceases to be a part of who we are. But even when the body is raised, it'll be a different sort of body than the one we wear today, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 42 to 44. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. It goes on. No, that's it. Okay. So if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, your spirit has already been made alive in Jesus and sealed in him until the day of redemption, as Ephesians 4:30 says. I don't have it up there, but it speaks of that. Sealed in him until the day of redemption. In other words, the body's going to drop away and be changed. The spirit has already been changed, right? Because we've trusted Christ as Savior. What we're left with is the soul. Soul could be called the mind. It's the seat of the intellect, the will, and the emotions. It's where we think, feel, decide. It's also the place where all of the conflicts we face in this life begin. The battle for the mind, right? See, the mind is the ultimate battlefield of life. The Lord, the flesh, and the devil are vying for control, right? In a sense, control of our minds. So why does that battle rage there? Glad you asked. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. So where we go with our minds will determine who we are. Right? We need to understand that this battle is raging in the mind. It's a spiritual battle. Ultimately, it's a battle between good and evil for the control of our lives. Since this is a spiritual battle, we need to fight it with our resources that are given to us by God. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Right? And I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 6. It's not up there. I have to turn to it. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand, stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So that's what we have to fight this battle, isn't it? So today I want to let you know that you don't have to lose the battle for your mind. You do not have to be defeated in your walk with the Lord. You do not have to be a slave to worry and fear. You do not have to live a life controlled by the lusts and desires of the flesh. You can live your life under the control of the Spirit. You can win the battle. Amen? First, it doesn't happen automatically. Okay? You have to take the proper steps to allow it to come to pass. Romans 12:2. I think we have there, do we not? It is, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay? Don't be conformed. Don't let it go there. Ephesians 4:23. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So as we take the step in 1 Peter to get a grip on the mind, we put ourselves in a position to receive what the Lord has for us, right? The ministry of the Lord, as he renews our mind. The word transform in Romans 12:2 and the word renewed in Ephesians 4:23 are both in the passive voice. There's something to and in us as the child of God. Okay? Second, we need to know that we don't have to do this alone. Since we have the Lord's promise in this matter, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. So today, we're going to take these verses we've read and show you what I believe is Paul's plan for victory in the battlefield of our mind. And I think there's four, I'm going to share with you four simple steps that teach us to know who you are in the Lord. And I believe these steps are going to help us to guard our minds. They'll help us to achieve victory in the daily struggle that we all face. First one is to practice praise. Verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. So he just tells us to rejoice. You know, this is a day the Lord has given us. Rejoice in it. What is it that your friend Z always says? It's a good day to be alive, yes. You know, anytime you say hi to her, how you doing? It's a good day to be alive. And one time she said, I wake up in the morning just envious of myself. So it means to be glad. It's the present tense, active voice, an imperative mood, and all that just means that the believer is commanded to go on being glad in the Lord. Keep on keeping on being glad in the Lord. And in order to be that way, we have to think of the reasons that we should be glad in the Lord, right? We think of those positive things that are going on. Now, granted, a lot of life doesn't lend itself to happiness, right? A lot of circumstances. Otherwise, our prayer times would be very short, wouldn't they? But we have those challenges. In fact, when Paul penned these words, he was bound between two soldiers in a Roman prison. You know? Still, Paul knew that regardless of the circumstances of life, God never changes. That's why we're told to rejoice in the Lord. People are going to change. Circumstances change. Life constantly changes. But the Lord never changes, does he? His love for us is constant. Since that's true, we can learn to rejoice in who he is and what he has done for us and what he's doing in our lives. So even if the road is hard, remember that he's planned your path. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. As we know that these are the steps that God has designed for us, and even though some of those steps may be going through some hard times. You know, Paul had the thorn in the flesh it was referred to. We don't exactly know what that was. But he struggled with that. Would he have rather not had that in his life? I'm sure he would have. But he rejoiced in it. Because God used that. God used that to make him into the person he was. And sometimes our struggles make us into the kind of person that we are. We can relate more to others that suffer, that others that go through those circumstances and those situations. And God can use those in a significant way. And he's promised to make all things work for good. Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. He has promised to go with you through everything in life. Hebrews 13:5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Wow. We talked this morning in Sunday school about how God is there anxious to hear from us. For us to pray. And we get a private audience with God, right? And here he is. He never leaves you, never forsakes you, no matter what you're going through. He has promised you abiding victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:37. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. So we've got these things going for us, don't we? He's promised us that the destination is going to be worth every step, every mile of the way, of the trip. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And 2 Corinthians 4:17, for momentarily light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And you look at the life of Paul and you say, were those really momentary light afflictions? What he went through? No. Not necessarily. Stoned, left for dead, you know, all kinds of stuff he went through. So, even when you can't be happy about your life, learn to be happy in the Lord. Build the habit of praise. And I really believe that's something we can all work on, is the habit of praise. Seeing what's good and letting that be our focus over and above and even through the challenges and the difficult times. And focus on that. Then second, we practice patience. Second part of verse 5, or first part of verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Gentle or gracious spirit is the idea of being patient with others, of giving way to the rights and wishes of others in this life. It does not mean a compromise in doctrine. It does mean that you have a willingness to take the back seat in favor of other people. This is the idea in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Oh, that's wrong one. Well, maybe I don't have it up there. Philippians 2, verse 4, I'm sorry. Okay. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So, you know, I remember when Beth's mother came to live with us. She had lost her husband. She had fallen and hit a metal ball on her shoulder and struggled, and she had lost a son at the age of 18. And she started looking through the papers for people who had lost a loved one, and she read him letters. So she started reaching out from the experience that she'd been through to minister to other people. And she got a lot of responses to those, the encouragement that she had given, and the blessing that she had been. So, Paul is saying that the reality of our faith should be demonstrated in how we deal with other people. If the focus of our lives is on ourselves, then when people hurt us, slight us, cross us, etc., there's going to be a desire to retaliate and get vengeance, right? Paul wants us to get the focus off ourselves and get it on others. When we're focused on those around us, we'll be less likely to be hurt by what other people do. What they say won't sting so bad. How they act can be passed over more easily. Not that we always excuse or say it was okay what they might have done to us. Because sometimes it absolutely was not okay. But it's saying, Lord, we give up our right to get even, of taking vengeance. We're just going to let you handle it, Lord God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 of the New Living Translation says, hardly notices when others do it wrong. Wow. That's easier said than done, isn't it? You know, when somebody slights us or hurts us, hardly notices when it's done wrong. When we adopt the mentality of self-love that's all around us, we'll always look at the things people do and say as a personal attack. It'll cause us to wear our feelings on our sleeves and to be more easily hurt by the words and actions of others. That's going to cause problems in the mind as we dwell on what was done or what was said. We can learn to accept others just as they are and overlook how they act and what they do. It's going to protect the mind from dwelling on those negative thoughts, right? It'll build a wall of protection around the mind that others can't penetrate. The bottom line is this. If we can learn to live in genuine contentment, Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Then it's not going to matter what anyone says or does. The mind will protect from the evil it likes to find in others. Mind will be protected from that. The devil loves nothing better than to get our eyes off Jesus and on the faults of others. In the book, The Screwtape Letters, you know, the tempter is advising the young tempter. I don't know, I forget the names now specifically or not. It's been a while since I've read it, but he says, oh, don't get upset if they go to church. Just have them notice that lady's hat in front of you, and in front of them. And have them just, you know, have them recognize that it's blocking their view and they can't see you. And have them get upset about that kind of thing. So just those sort of things that we, you know, that we fall for, right? The flesh loves nothing better than to go along with the devil in that matter. And when that happens, the mind is in danger. So practice patience. We all need to work on that every day, right? And then practice prayer. Verses, second part of verse 5 and through verse 7. It says, the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So verse 6 warns us against the dangers of worry. The word anxious refers to a state of mind that's agitated over events and circumstances of life. Nothing wrong with having concerns. We all will. That's just being aware of what's around us. We all have our concern about certain things. It's when your concerns have you that the problems begin to arise. Right? When they keep us awake, when they keep our mind captured and we're not able to give them over to the Lord and say, Lord, you handle this. Worry is so dangerous because it allows the mind to conceive wrong notions about God. Worry says, God is dead. God doesn't care. Or if there is a God, he obviously doesn't care about me and my situation. Those statements are false. God is alive. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Yeah, that's what Jesus is doing at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And God does care. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. You know, he never succumbed to the temptation. He withstood it all. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxiety, all your cares on him, because he cares for you. That's powerful, isn't it? So when the problems of life come our way, we're given some pretty precious help in these verses. Second part of verse 5, the Lord is near. Not just his second coming, but he's always close to those he loves, those he's called, those who have trusted him as Savior. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you will have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? So we should exercise, according to verse 6, that tool of prayer. Paul speaks of prayer, supplication, requests. These might be thought of as general praying, specific praying, and then detailed praying. The main thrust of this verse is that instead of worrying, he's to demonstrate his faith and the power and the will of God by seeking the Lord in prayer, by going to him and talking to him and leaving those requests to him, with him. And then verse 6, develop a thankful heart. We do it with thanksgiving. How can we do that? We pray, you know, according to verse 6, let your requests be made known to God. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving. And the only way that's possible is to know who God is, and we're thanking him as we pray, right? We're giving him thanks as we say those prayers, because we know that he hears and answers. So we do it with thanksgiving. Regardless of the situation you face in life, learn to praise God through all of them. Nothing brings the Lord closer or drives the devil away any faster than a genuinely thankful heart. And that's something we practice, right? Work on it. Practice it. The Lord's promise to us is that he will replace our worries with his peace when he comes before, when we come before him and that simple, humble, trusting prayer. The word keep in verse 7 is to garrison or build a fort around, to post a guard. So the Lord promises to post a guard around the heart and mind of the person who trusts him with the needs of life. So instead of worrying yourself sick about the things that you can't change, learn to lean on the Lord in prayer and know who you are in him. Because, like I say, there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing we can change about it. So we go to the one who can and who cares and who knows the beginning from the end. I'm reminded when we used to go to a trail ride in the Badlands in North Dakota. And the ranchers out there would bring their horses and we would ride down into the Badlands. And there was one time that a group of us went on a hike from the camp. We just all had our campers and tents and things like that in this one spot. And we went on a hike from there. And we hiked out on this one ridge. And we looked across and we saw a trail across there that went up back up to the camp. And we decided we're going to walk that trail. And somebody was over on the other side, and we could barely hear them yelling, go back, don't do it, don't do it. We thought, eh, what a wimp. So we started walking out, and what we couldn't see from where we were was that as we got a ways, it dropped almost straight down to a little creek there, and then straight back up again, and over a ways, and then the trail going up to the camp was a wall about as high as this wall that we had to lift each other up to get up there. And it was one lady was crying because it was so difficult. But what we realize is that's sort of the way it is with God. We see things and we can look over here and think, oh, it should be able to get it. But God sees it from up here, doesn't he? God knows what the terrain is from our life. And as we walk through, he can guide us. He can direct us in those situations. So, we also then build a wall of practice purity. Verse 8. So all of these words Paul uses in this verse are a picture in the Word of God. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And I think you could also say it the other way, don't dwell on things that aren't that, right? So this is what you do dwell on. And so these words Paul uses are a picture, like I said, of the Word of God. It is true, John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them in truth, your word is truth. Since the Bible is true, everything it says fits with the categories mentioned by Paul, right? It's honest or honorable. It's just or right. It's pure, it's holy and clean. It's lovely, it's beautiful. It's of good report, it has a good reputation. It's excellence, it is full of virtue and excellence. And praise, that which tends toward worship. So those things are what the Word has for us. And as we immerse ourselves in that, and that's where we can find our strength. That's where we can find our praise to God of what God's telling us. Our owner's manual, right? What we have here is a call to fix our minds on the things of God. The source for finding out about those things are in His Word. If we fill our minds with the words of God, there's not going to be any room for wrong thoughts, evil thoughts, no room for worry, no room for fear, no room for vengeance, no room for confusion and trouble. A mind filled with and led by the Word of God is a stable mind. If you want a stable, fixed mind, the only place to get it is from His Word, His promises. So we should take the initiative and force the mind to dwell on the Bible and what it says instead of allowing our mind to run to evil or gossip or other things that are they're not doing what others what they're doing or our problems. Mind saturated and fixed upon the Word of God is a stable mind. It's something that you got to do for yourself. You must do for yourself. We wonder why we don't get much out of preaching in church sometimes. The answer is in the fact that every day we allow our minds to feed on the garbage, right, that's around us in the world, and to dwell on the problems and the problem people in life. We focus there, and it takes our mind away from what God wants. If we would give as much energy to dwelling on the Word of God day by day, it would transform our time here in the Lord's house. So, all of this to say that your mind is a precious gift from God. It can be used for good or for evil. And all the forces of good and evil are battling for your mind all at the same time. Who wins the battle is always determined by you. We've been given a free will. Nobody can control your mind but you. We're told in the Bible that we need to fortify the mind. And it's our job individually. It can't be passed off to somebody else. So these things that we want to practice praise. And by that I mean do it over and over and over and over and over again. Praising, seeing the good things. Practice patience. Patience with what's going on, patience with others, just patience in life. Practice purity. Seeing it in God's Word. I missed one there, didn't I? Practice prayer. Sorry about that. Practice prayer. Just talking to God. Going to Him. It's one of the things that we do in driver education. They just have to practice it and practice it. and practice it until it's done without even thinking. It's where we go, right? So, this is a critical matter, because how you think determines how you will live your life. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." See, we have to see that our minds are in love with Jesus. Matthew 22:37. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Okay? There's who we are. We love God with all of that, all of ourselves. Until the mind is settled, all of life is out of control. James 1:8, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's not who we want to be, is it? So I challenge you to practice these things. To fill your mind with these things day by day. And know who you are in Christ. That is so powerful. There are many scriptures in the Bible that talk about who you are in Christ. Because of the things you have from Him. And who you are because of Him. Let your mind dwell on these things. Lord God, we thank You. Thank You that You've given us all we need to face life for love and good deeds. We commit ourselves to You for that, Lord God. We want to practice these things. We want to be who You want us to be. So strengthen us in that, Lord. In the powerful name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.